Exodus chapter 26, verses 31 through 37. These are God's words. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon four sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the Ark of the Testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. There are two doorways that are in the tabernacle that are described here in our passage today. The first one is given a name that is translated Baal here in our English version. It's a word that occurs only of this particular item, this veil. This doorway in the Hebrew Bible. From other writings outside the Bible at the same time, we know that the word means something like to seal off or to shut off. And so the Holy of Holies, which is a more literal translation of what's called here Most Holy in our passage, what's translated Most Holy in our passage, the Holy of Holies is described here as being shut off. The other word, which is translated screen, is a word that means a veil or a screen or a hanging curtain used as a doorway. That's fine. But it separates the most holy place from the outer court of the tabernacle. And what we see here then is that access to the holy God is sealed off, that the closer you get to him, the holier the space is and the more restricted the access is. Levites could be in the outer courts, but only the priests, the sons of Aaron, could attend to the holy place. The sons of Aaron, the priests, could attend to the holy place, but only the high priest could go through the veil, and only once a year, with the blood of atonement on the Day of Atonement, to pour it upon the lid of the ark, the mercy seat. And so this is very restricted access. Now we see this, these degrees of holiness, or these degrees of restriction, also in the construction of the two curtains. The one called the veil, and the one called the screen, they both are made of blue, purple, and scarlet thread. They're both made of fine woven linen. And yet the veil is with an artistic design. And the language there in verse 31 indicates that it is made by a master craftsman, a different name and a different level than the weaver at the end of verse 36. So there's a higher degree of skill required, and part of the reason that there is a higher degree of skill required is that this artistic design is going to include cherubim. You remember that cherubim were also embroidered into the ceiling of the most holy place, of the holy place and the most holy place, the ceiling of the tabernacle, what were called the curtains earlier in the chapter. And so the picture is sort of like they are going through the ceiling when when the high priest on the Day of Atonement goes through the veil. He's passing into heaven or through the heavens. And those of you who know your Bibles well, recognize that language, and we'll get there in a moment. And also there's not just the cherubim difference and the artistic design versus the work of a weaver difference, but also you see the sockets of the veil are made of silver in verse 32. The sockets of the screen are made of bronze in verse 37. So you have this sealing off of the way to God, which is something that we have seen before, haven't we, in Genesis chapter 3. And it was cherubim there as well, in addition to the flaming sword that turned every way, but cherubim who were keeping the way to the tree of life. So access to the holy God is sealed off, but not entirely and not permanently. Even now, even in the infancy of God's church, under the priesthood and the administration under Moses at under Sinai, there was that once a year, and with atoning blood that went on the mercy seat, and yet blood that could not take away sin, blood that did not open the way for boldness before God and assurance of faith. So access to the holy God is sealed off, but not entirely and not forever. You see, the cherubim in Genesis 3 were keeping the way to the tree of life. And we see that tree of life again, don't we? The Lord gives to those who overcome by faith the right to eat from the tree of life, he says in the letters at the beginning of Revelation. And then we find the 12-fold tree of life on either side of the river, with its 12-fold fruit, rather, at the end of Revelation. But even now, before the Lord's return, before the last day, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that Jesus has passed through the heavens, and that he has there, beyond the veil, Hebrews 6 verses 19 and 20 tells us, Jesus has become the anchor of our souls, the one who is our forerunner, meaning that not only are we anchored to the Holy of Holies in Jesus, but that his having gone in as our representative is just the first part that he has assured and guaranteed that we ourselves will enter. Something that we learn in chapter 9 and chapter 10 of Hebrews, that we actually do by faith already when we gather for the assembly on the Lord's Day. One of the reasons for Hebrews 10:25 telling us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath keeping that remains, is because, as Hebrews 10:19 tells us, we have boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the next verse tells us he is our new and living way through the veil, the true veil. And so we draw near in full assurance of faith, having our consciences sprinkled clean, or poured clean, the blood of Jesus being applied not only in heaven, but applied to us, reminding us, assuring us, displaying to us that all of our sins are forgiven and all of the wrath that we deserve has been absorbed. Jesus reminding us of this when he presents to us the cup of the new covenant that is in his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but his blood, which was shed once for all, and which he himself, with which he himself entered the Holy of Holies. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. And so the Lord Jesus assures us of this at the supper, presenting us the cup of the new covenant in his blood, and he assures us of this in baptism. As Hebrews 10:20 tells us, not only are our hearts sprinkled clean, but our bodies have been washed with pure water. Not talking about the particulate concentration in the water, but the Lord's use of the water as a sign and a seal of the promise that is received through faith, in which the righteousness of Jesus is imputed to us and we are sure that we are perfectly righteous before God, and so we are able to come with boldness. All of this, the scripture calls coming through the veil, beyond the veil, through the new and living way that is the flesh of Jesus Christ. Again, reminding us that he who sits bodily on the throne of glory feeds us upon himself, applies to us the benefits gained by him physically on the cross and enjoyed by him physically in glory, and communicates those benefits to us through faith at the supper and through the other means of grace as the Spirit applies the Lord Jesus to us. And so we can draw near to God, especially in the Lord's Day assemblies, which we are not to forsake, because Jesus has united us to himself, and through him we have happy and confident access even to the Holy God. So by sealing off the picture, God has heightened by contrast the liberty that we have now when the reality has come, of which the tabernacle is a picture. The boldness that we have now, that the reality has come, the Lord Jesus, of which the tabernacle is a picture. This encourages us to learn from Exodus 26, 31 through 37, that even during these worship times, but especially when we come on the Lord's Day, and we come to the Holy Assembly in Zion in glory, and we come through the veil, beyond the veil, through the new and living way that is his flesh, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that we should be coming with boldness, with clear consciences, with rejoicing over having been entirely forgiven of all our sins and given a perfectly righteous standing through faith in Jesus Christ. How bold and free and joyous and forgiven we ought to know ourselves to be in Jesus when we come, because it is not sealed off. When he died, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. And surely those who could see and know such things with earthly eyes were shocked by that. But how much more impressed ought we to be, seeing by faith the reality of our entrance into glory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's ask God to stir up that faith and boldness and joy. Our Father in heaven, we bless your name, who have determined to gather to yourself the whole family in heaven and on earth, and to bring us near, to kill the enmity, to break down not just the walls of separation, but even to tear up the veil, or tear down the veil, that we might come cleansed entirely by Christ's blood, made perfectly righteous with his righteousness, united to him, and gathered to you in him, in his flesh, and by his blood. Lord, we thank you for your word. We confess that we are weak and we have a hard time appreciating the greatness of what you have done and of what we have by what you have done. But we confess you to be wise and kind, having made accommodation for our weakness, having given us not just the word that we have now, but the stages by which you gave a sealed off picture, and the sacraments by which you assure our faith in what you have said. And so we pray that you would cleanse our consciences, that you would bless to us the use of the supper and of our baptisms, that you would make us be bold before you with the boldness of the forgiven, not irreverent, but rejoicing to be your beloved and accepted children, who are all the way near you, who can draw all the way near to you in Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, by your Spirit, that he would be for us not a spirit of bondage, but a spirit of adoption, by whom we draw near, by whom we are sure, by whom we are bold, by whom we call you Father, even in your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen.